Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Today we'll check in with Susan Madsen and Yvette Young, both with the Utah Women and Leadership Project. We'll talk about the following reports: how higher education strengthens individual and family and community well-being, and the power of education, how higher education shapes Utah workplaces. We'll also discuss educational attainment for women. Later in the program, we'll be hearing from Yvette Young, who is Research Manager with the Utah Women and Leadership Project. Right now, we bring in Susan Madsen, who is Extension Professor of Leadership at Utah State University and Director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Always great to talk to you, Tom. And I'm excited about these reports. It just happened. That you know, we do reports on poverty and mammography and domestic violence and women in leadership in different positions. But it happens to be that we have a series of reports that all came out together really on the power of education, particularly higher education, which is perfect because we're both housed at Utah State University. And the power of higher education is what we think about as we teach students and provide resources for the community and so forth. So excited to have a little bit of time to talk to you about our reports, because to me, they're quite powerful.
I just want to read a few sentences here from one of these reports. This is the one on how higher education strengthens individual, family, and community well-being. You say, as lifelong Utahns raising children and grandchildren here, you and your co-author of the report, a professor from BYU, yeah. Right?
Yes.
We recognize and share questions many families and state legislators are asking about higher education, concerns about rising costs, uncertain career payoff, aspects of campus culture that feel disconnected from local values that you say are real and deserve attention. But you go on to say colleges and universities should continue addressing these issues while building stronger, more authentic relationships with the communities they serve. And then you say at the same time, focusing only on the economic contributions misses the boat. So we'll get into talking about that. But I wanted to start there with the famously, I think it was two years ago, I lose track. The legislature shook up the higher education community with some new legislation. And so that's where I want to start. Do you feel like the data that you're looking at here supports what the legislature was doing in terms of wanting to direct careers directly to or degrees directly to career attainment, higher paying jobs, jobs that benefit the Utah economy?
Yeah, good question and great insight. Yeah, lots of ups and downs in legislature the last number of years, right? Each year brings on something different. And we can see the theme of more focus. Let's take money from higher education unless they show us there's always, and that's an important word, there's always a link to career. And I would say it's more than my opinion, because I have looked at research through the years, and no matter what major you have in college degree, it helps for economic reasons. It helps you get a job. If you're in a business, and have a humanity degree or something, you can get a job in various things. But your point is critical, because the power of education throughout all time is linked to a job and career. And it's not or. And the most powerful piece of higher education is how it impacts how you see the world. The research is extensive, that your views change, that you vote more, that you donate blood more, that you're engaged in leadership in your community more, the more education you have, and that it helps you as parents. The more education, the more likely you are to read to your children. And Tom, I bet you know the research on the importance of reading and working with your kids on math and all of those things. And most of those other things are not linked to economic reasons. And so I have been like a broken record on this for like two decades now, that we can't be making decisions solely on economic and remove careers from funding that really are critical for our families and other things in society. So that's where I really start. And Tom, before we go on, I also want to give a little, maybe you're going to ask, a little background about where these data came from. Is that where you wanted to go next?
Let's do that, and then let's jump into this second of the two reports. We could take them a little bit out of order, but to reinforce this idea of not only increasing an individual's economic future, but increasing the communities, what we call community capital. But yeah, first of all, how did you do this report?
Well, we every year, and we've done it three times, we do a massive study around the state of Utah. And this year it was over 5,200, two different samples, people in Utah from every county in the state that responded. And while we were writing these reports and putting them out, most of those reports came out. I was running all the data. I'm in SPSS running the data, and it was so profound when I ran demographics, and we had a lot of demographics. I just kept seeing question after question, and there were demographic questions and then 83 different questions in 18, 19 different categories. And I almost everyone, I would say, oh my gosh, there is significance between your educational level. So whether you didn't get any college education or you went a little bit, some, or you got a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, there was so much power in that education and your level of education really impacts your views. It impacts how you do see the world and how much you participate in various things. And so after we got done with the other stuff, I reached out to Eric Dahlin, who's a sociology professor at Brigham Young University, and said, "Hey, will you work with me?" He loves statistics, and so I said, "You need to do a more advanced statistics than I do. Can you work with me and really let's focus in on two reports that only look at all the areas, but mainly focus in on higher education attainment and does that impact?" So that's a little bit of the background data we collected in the fall of 2025. But we're excited to be taking that data set and utilizing it in a different way. It's profound, and support for all of the other reports that I've been citing and all the conversations we've had.
Let me just read from this report, just a couple sentences again. Research, you say, shows that educational attainment is closely linked to stronger health and well-being, greater civic and political participation, increased financial stability, and deeper engagement in community life. So these obviously, I guess, first of all, tell me about that research, and then this gets at what we would call community capital, right? That a individual's educational attainment then collectively helps the community.
Absolutely. And I don't think we mentioned it in this report, but the more educated a community is, the more the community is thriving in terms of economic reasons, but also crime rates are lower as a community. So it's individual, but you're so right, Tom, in terms of when you put a more educated society together, you really do things differently. So this specific report had 10 areas, and they fell around, different individual, family, community, well-being. And so we put them in alphabetical order, but the first couple, let me just give you some examples. We have four survey items around child sexual abuse. So, and then the same thing around domestic violence. And then later on, the same thing around sexual assault. And we found similar themes. So the question, for instance, one of the questions is, do you believe that child sexual abuse or domestic violence are problems in your community? And if you know the research, they are big problems here in Utah. They're problems every place, but we're above the nation in terms of all of these violence pieces. Well, we come to find out that with our data, that those that have high school or less diplomas are the lowest, and then some college a little bit more, and that includes Some college includes some college and a degree, but it also includes associate degrees. And then bachelor's degrees, you see more, and then graduate degrees, you see more. And so, bottom line on that one and on all the topics, people that have more education are just paying more attention as a whole. Not every person is like this, as a whole, to what's going on. What are the concerns in our community? What do we need to work on? We're just more aware the more education we have, and that changes actions. That changes how we engage with trying to pass legislation that relates to how we talk about this and help solve issues. And so things like, is it preventable? Is child sexual abuse preventable? Even that, the more education they say, of course it is. It is. And then even awareness of resources, the more education, the more you know where resources are. And then you understand also the prevalence in Utah. And so things like that, let me just mention a couple with domestic violence. Even the thing about, and most people in Utah do understand that a piece of domestic violence is emotional abuse. But even with that one, the more education, the more you understand what domestic violence is and are aware of the resources and want to or know how to help. And so those are a couple of things. We did them all in and would love to dive into any that you're interested in. Let me just read on another one on finances. We had very specific questions around finances and then health across a lifespan. There are lots of things in that. Higher education, which seems kind of obvious because we're talking about, I'll just stop right here, Tom, because both of us are fans here. The more education you have, it makes sense, right? The more you say education is important, right? And that it's important for growth. And one of the things that was really clear is there's discussions right now about the worth of a higher education degree. You've been in those discussions, I'm sure. And of course, if you have the education, you're more likely to say, of course, it is worth the investment. It is oftentimes those that don't have the education, which we see that play out, honestly, in our legislature with those that don't have real college degrees are the ones arguing for the most part that let's narrow the focus to only careers and so forth. So and the more education, the more you've applied or believe that you can apply for financial aid. And then we have some questions on home and family, K through 12 initiatives. I love this one if you want to talk about this later. Absenteeism. I don't know if you are up on this, but we've sure had a drop and like most states since COVID on kids not they're just absent from school quite a bit. And then political engagement, poverty, those are the ones. And so what we did is do the statistics. Do your views on all of these things relate to your level of education? So, and honestly, we found it almost every place.
Let me just have you dive in a little deeper on a couple of these, and then we'll get to your conclusions in this paper. So you mentioned political and civic engagement. I'll quote from the paper: educational attainment was strongly associated with positive attitudes toward women's civic and political participation. Definitely need that, right? So I guess maybe tell me a little bit more about that one.
We had a question, and there were about 5,000 people that responded to this in two samples, a representative and a broader sample. But a question about, are women well suited for politics? Are you aware of, civic activities? And does running for office have a negative effect on the family? More people that are educated say, You know, most people these days are saying, yeah, women are well suited, but significantly more people that had higher education are saying, of course, women and men can both, you know, be serving in public office. And the more we asked a question about, are you aware of civic activities and engaged in civic activities in your community? And of course, the more education that goes directly with national research that's out there, the more education, the more you're aware of what's going on in the community, aware of the activities you can be engaged in, and you're actually engaged in those activities, whether they're running for office, whether they're, you know, going to city council and learning about your issues and all of those. So it's pretty striking. A couple on women, a couple more broadly for women and men. And this survey was not just for women. It was a combination of anybody in Utah could respond that was over 18.
Just one more before we get to some conclusions. Home and family, I just want to quote again. Higher educational attainment is associated with more egalitarian attitudes toward family decision-making and intimate relationships. That was interesting to have that linkage.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the more education, the more you tend to not have as big of what we call in the literature power distance between men and women. So a lot of times when you're in cultures like we have, you know, men have a lot more power than women. And therefore, in the home, women do, even if they're working full time, they go back and they do the cooking and the cleaning and all of the, you know, activities. And typically, men and women who have higher education look at partnership in the home. Like, let's do what makes sense and work together in the home. And so, you know, it's really, you know, there's a view by women and even more by men. So men think that they're doing more than women think they're doing in the home, which is always interesting, right? But there's those views that even, you know, the more educated men are typically more engaged with their children and those kinds of things. So it's interesting. It really does impact, education does impact a lot of things. And you know what I love? Can I just say this? I've had conversations sometimes with people that said, I didn't get my degree, but you know, I am good. I'm smart. And I'm like, of course you are. But what's interesting is even those, and I love to teach older students, more mature students that have had a life, they go back to school and then they find all of these wonderful things. They just increase their capacity and their all skill sets, even if they're great to begin with, right? So higher education changes us.
So as we move toward a conclusion, this paper, I just want to introduce this by a personal story, which I think applies. So several years after I got my bachelor's degree here at USU, I went back to the Huntsman School and got an MBA. And early in that program, I took a class, and we were supposed to do a class project. Separate into groups, supposed to do a class project. The professor said, I want the results of this project to be clearly definable. He said, I don't want any of this raising awareness stuff. And I was sitting in the back of the class thinking, I'm not in Kansas anymore. That's what I'm doing for a living. Utah Public Radio, I'm raising awareness is what I'm doing. Yeah. And he's telling me he doesn't want any raising awareness squishiness, right? So in this paper, you say the results highlight an important distinction between awareness and action. Education alone is insufficient. Yeah. So tell me your some policy recommendations here.
Yeah, I mean, raising awareness is critical of all these issues. So I disagree with that professor. But we also, we put a few of these implications. We need to continue to expand educational opportunity as a long-term community investment, and not just say, hey, get the lowest degree you can so you can make money. But it matters if you continue your education. And so FAFSA, those kinds of things, completion. We have the lowest FAFSA completion rate in the nation, actually, here in Utah. And that's can be helpful for our kids and ourselves returning to school. We also say strengthening community response capacity really through training and resource awareness and things, integrating and talking even in educational settings about the topics that we're talking about. That's really important to help do that. And then we've got to have partnerships, not with just higher education, but higher education institutions, local governments, so our legislature, our local governments, state and local, and community residents. This is a community raising higher education on these issues, and educational attainment is critical for all of us to work on. So our argument, as we conclude this piece, and then we'll jump over to the other paper, is higher education matters. Whether it's going to a technical college and maybe you get a degree and then you can jump over to Salt Lake Community College and USU and so forth. It matters. It matters on how we think. It matters how we parent. It matters in so many ways that are and helping us reach the real potential that we have. And as we argue in this paper, it really changes the way we see the world in positive ways.
We're talking with Susan Madsen, who is director of the Utah Women and Leadership Project, and we're going to talk about another paper on higher education, The Power of Education, How Higher Education Shapes Utah Workplaces. We'll talk about that one following this brief break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're checking in with the Utah Women in Leadership Project again today. We're talking right now with Susan Madsen, who's director, and she's also Extension Professor of Leadership at Utah State University. A little bit later in the program, we'll be bringing in Yvette Young, who's Research Manager with Utah Women in Leadership Project. So, Susan Madsen, these are companion pieces, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about this one, The Power of Education, How Higher Education Shapes Utah Workplaces. We're talking earlier about how it shapes communities and non-economic factors. So this is based on the same survey, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we don't have to cover that again.
Yeah.
It's the same survey, 83 survey items plus a bunch of demographics. And again, we really looked at, and in our reports, we talk about other demographics. But in this particular report, we really analyzed views and perceptions and understanding levels of all these 5,200 Utahns around every county in the state with educational level. So we really focus on four, if they're high school diploma or less, and then some college, and we had associate degrees in there, and then bachelor's and graduate degrees. And so that's what we did. And in this paper, we're really just focused on eight. And these are all workplace. So perceptions of workplace things. And so again, the background is the same as we just talked about on that first paper. But this time we dive into eight specific areas of workplace related and just saw what's coming out of our research.
Let's briefly go through these. So organizational strategies and workplace culture, you say respondents with more education were more likely to report positive workplace experiences.
They were. So the more education. So again, we had those four levels and you see it increasing in terms of I didn't say this before, but we had 7 points, like one strongly disagree, seven strongly agree. And so things like, does your company have family-friendly policies? Actually, more people that had higher education, especially those in the bachelor's and graduate degrees, were more likely to say they worked for companies that had family-friendly practices. And they typically worked for places that had opportunities to advance. And then this one actually surprised me a little bit, that especially those with graduate degrees compared to, some college or high school, felt like they belonged at work, They had that sense of belonging. And so it's just interesting that education affects us. We know from what we just talked about, Tom, that education impacts so many things in the family and community, but it does in the workplace as well.
This one,
One,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the reason I put organizational strategies and workplace culture first is that it's kind of an overarching category. And then within that, you have things like childcare and the pay gap and various things like that. So that was overall. And then we dive into childcare. Tom, you and I have talked about childcare before and some of the challenges here in Utah.
Yeah, it remains a big problem, right?
It does.
So you're finding here educational attainment strongly related to views about childcare.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, for instance, is childcare even an issue? And most people in Utah see it as an issue. I mean, we're at least a 5 of a 7-point scale. But the more, this one was just lined up beautifully. The more a graduate degree, bachelor's degree, you're just going to know that around us, even if it's not impacting you, it's impacting other people in the state. So the more education, the more you're just aware of those things. And I love this one, and I wish we all could understand that childcare and pre-K program providers are really professionals. So that was a question. Like, are they professionals? Are they not just, quote, babysitters? But these people often have degrees in child development and so forth. And the more education, the more you understand that. And this last one, I've skipped a couple, but the last one was on the in this one was, does government should government have a role in helping Utah solve this problem of childcare? And the more education, the more you believe. And can I just say, at least, I mean, everyone agrees, not everyone, but the mean was higher, that government should have a role, because we're not able to fix this just with families. But graduate degrees was almost at a 6, which is really agree. So again, the awareness that we have is critical by education level.
Oh, talk about that. So awareness with a gender pay gap. I'm reading from the report. Education was strongly associated with greater recognition of the gender pay gap.
Yep.
But again, that gets us part of the way, but not all of the way.
Yeah.
There's still a gender pay gap.
Yeah, there is. And most people in Utah are aware that there's a pay gap. Even we dug in, even when apples are to apples. We could get into a lot of details, which we won't. Even when we say, oh, women choose to do less things or work less, people still understand that there's a pay gap. But if you have more, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, you're going to understand that even more. And I love the next one, leadership development. We have some questions, and the results in this particular was not divided by gender. So this was men and women. And we asked, do you aspire to be a leader? Do other people see you as a leader? Do you see yourself as a leader? Things like that. And absolutely, no question in our data that the more education you have, the more you see yourself as a leader, you believe other people see you as a leader, and you want to lead, whatever way that, whatever that means to you. And so I love that as a person that, that's my main area is women in leadership. But that plays out for not just women, for men too. So that's in national data and international data, that leadership development piece is found every place. So I'm glad our study found the similar results. I know our time is moving, but I don't want to skip, Tom. If you're tempted to skip, I do not want to skip one question in the section of sexual harassment and gender-based
Yes, that's
discrimination.
where I was going to go next. Yeah, go ahead.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone understands that there's sexual harassment issues and gender-based discrimination. But the more education, the more you understand that. The one that I really want to highlight here is we asked people, and this is interesting. Of course, everything is interesting to me, but this one really struck me, that we were asked if you were to, if you or someone were to file a complaint against sexual harassment, do you believe, do you trust that your organization, your employer, would basically do the right thing? And most Utahns are saying no, they don't trust. But if you have a high school degree or less, you're more willing to trust. And the more education you have, the less willing you are to trust. And so that kind of flips it in a strange way. And I think, but it comes back to the finding that you're just more aware of what's happening around in organizations, in the conversations, in the news, in, research that's out there. That's sad, though, isn't it, Tom?
It is. I was struck by that. Very, very surprised by that. But it makes sense, right? In a certain way. What are give me some policy implications here. What are you suggesting that we do with this information?
Well, I do want to just mention that the other sections are how education relates to STEM fields, and then just some general workplace, workforce development. And then we have a section on entrepreneurship, and how that impacts. And that one's a little different. So check out our report if you want that. So again, we have a section in this report on the gender differences, and there is like even though men and women may not trust their organizations would do the right thing in a sexual harassment, women are likely to even trust less. Does that make sense? So there's exaggerated things. Some policy implications, of course, is just that we need to make sure we continue. Well, first of all, education matters. People go to college, go back to college, engage, and graduate. And even if you haven't been to college for a lot of years, and maybe you were in the category of some college, no degree, or you have an associate degree, you can go back because it doesn't just help you for economic reasons. It helps you, for me, my education helps me be a better grandma. So there's some areas there. Education alone, but can't close workforce gaps. Even among the most educated people, women consistently reported fewer opportunities for advancement. And so just being aware of those things, more education helps that. So we need to just be in those conversations and make a difference there. And with the childcare, of course, we say government needs to be engaged in this issue because there's a major gap in how much families in Utah can engage and pay for childcare. So there's a lot. We have a lot of workforce development has to include both skills and knowledge and structures. And so while education strengthens confidence, preparedness, and optimism about employment, it doesn't eliminate structural barriers. And so all these topics are important, but our key for this is education matters in how we see the world and how we see the workforce.
Well, we're talking with Susan Madsen, who is director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. We're going to take another brief break. When we come back, we'll be bringing into the discussion Yvette Young, who's research manager with Utah Women in Leadership Project. She, along with Susan Madsen, authored a third paper we're going to talk about in this hour today, Educational Attainment of Utah Women, a 2026 Update. More following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We've been talking with Susan Madsen, Extension Professor of Leadership at Utah State University, Director of Utah Women in Leadership Project. We bring in now Yvette Young, who's Research Manager with Utah Women in Leadership Project. Yvette Young, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So you and I understand you and Dr. Mattson joined on this report, Educational Attainment of Utah Women at 2026 Update. So tell me briefly, Yvette Young, what were you trying to do with this report?
So we were trying to get a little bit of a complete picture of the educational attainment of women and men in Utah. And we did that using a Census Bureau product, the American Community Survey, that is run every year. So we could get snapshots of how much education Utahns are receiving.
Tom, real quick, a little background on this. Mm-hmm. So we haven't done this report since 2018. And the one before that was 2013. And so when Yvette joined us, I'm like, you understand the census well, and we would love to go back to this. And one of the differences between this report and some others is this one looks at the education attainment level of the full population. So not That's just right. people coming out right now. And so this is a really important it's been a few years, so we're excited that Yvette could join our team and be able to do this report.
I want to just read, I'll just direct this to Yvette Young first, from the report. Extensive research has shown that returns to graduate and professional degrees are gendered. The benefits of the highest levels of education are smaller for women than for men. While some research has suggested persistent income inequalities can be explained by men's and women's differing choices of fields of education, you want to say that's not the case. So I wonder if you could talk about that. And that, I guess, persists even as you go high in higher education.
Yeah, so there are studies that are looking at what degrees people got, how many years of education, how much experience they have in their field, and they're still finding a gender gap. Definitely it's smaller than if you look at the gender gap in wages without considering any of those factors. It's really, really high. The gap gets smaller the more you account for things like education level, but it still persists. And there's still, Susan touched on this a little bit earlier, there are still some people in different industries that think that maybe women won't stay in the workforce, and so they're not going to pay them as much, or they're not going to give them as many opportunities for advancement because they think that they have more ties or reasons to leave and take care of the family. And so there's still some subtle biases in industry that are contributing to some of these gaps.
I want to read another sentence here. Educational experiences and outcomes are shaped. These benefits, we've talked about these benefits throughout the hour, right? Not only academic benefits, but marital satisfaction, health and fitness, child welfare, etc. And then you want to say these benefits are not distributed equally across social groups.
Yeah, that's true. There's a pretty wide body of research that looks at all these different benefits of education. And yes, there are benefits to both men and to women and to all racial and ethnic groups. No matter how you slice the demographics of the population, there are benefits to all people, but they're not distributed equally. Men consistently, and especially white men, consistently receive more benefits for their education than women do. But that's not to say we shouldn't all try to improve our educational outcomes. Like, there's so many benefits of it for everyone. We want to be aware that there is this gap, but we still want to push that education is important. Hmm.
So Susan Mattson, I'll have both of you weigh in on this. You mentioned earlier in the hour, and it comes out in this report, Utah leads the nation in not finishing your degree. Yes. Not a good distinction.
I've seen that for 15 plus years. And I was interested in looking at the most recent data. And so we have a wonderful table in this report on educational attainment and educational level. And you do see that the U.S. is about 20%. Some call it what I'm putting in quote marks, right? Some college, no degree. And in Utah, it's 24.5%. So the great news, though, in our report is that we're actually better than the nation on like high school attainment and some of the other things, but that some college no degree just means, and there's a lot of women in that, right? Some men, but a lot of women that they went a year, a 2 year, I know people personally, 3 or 4 years and didn't quite close the loop. At that time, when you were going for a 4 year degree, you know, that they didn't stop and say, let's close the loop and get an associate. Now, nowadays we try to do that. We say, just grab that associate degree title along the way. Yvette, did you have any other comments about that?
No, I mean, it is really interesting how high the rate is in Utah for some college note degree, but there are also some cultural factors that explain some of that. We have more structured gap time, and in Utah specifically, we have people who are leaving college to go on a mission. And because the age changed over time when men and women go on missions, that's shifted a little bit when the structured gap time is occurring. But there's also gap time that people are taking that is structured for military service. And then more unstructured, we're getting some of the people, because Utah is known to have family formation and having children really young, we're getting a little bit of that in there too. So you've got some cultural explanations for this, but you also have higher rates of return, just slightly, then, because more of the gap time is structured, and the research is showing that those structured gap times are really more beneficial and more people return than when they're unstructured gap times.
We just have this hour has flown by. We just have a couple of minutes, so I want to go to each of you to take a main takeaway from this report. Susan Madsen, what's your big takeaway?
Well, I none of it was a surprise, honestly, because you know I've been following some of the research, but we haven't had it clearly highlighted like this. And so I think it's really useful for people to know where our high school diploma, we start there and go all the way to graduate degree, right? Where is what's going on as a society? And so even high school, we're doing better than a lot of states there. But I think, you know, when you say, and I don't have the report right in front of me, but it feels like about 7%. Was that what it was, Yvette? I
Yes.
just need to remind us though that we're talking about, we're saying, oh, it's only 7%. We shouldn't have to worry about encouraging people to graduate from high school. We're doing well. Well, that 7% are thousands and thousands of Utahns. And so even when we're doing well in certain areas and the population as a whole, we're seeing women's graduation rates as a society go up, but as a society, we still include 70 plus, 60 plus, and it wasn't as big of a deal back then. And so we're going to see at a point, I don't know if Yvette wants to predict where we catch up in some ways in those. So it's helpful to educators, to parents, to all of us to know where are we at as a society in Utah and some of our goals to move forward.
Yvette Young, just about a minute left. What's your big takeaway from this report?
My big takeaway is that where we are seeing the gaps, we should definitely have some targeted programs that can improve recruitment and support. And that support in education also includes the childcare we were talking about before for women, as well as some financial pathways, shrinking those gaps, and then improving the educational outcomes for all Utahns. That's a really important target for us.
Well, thank you both for the discussion, for these reports, the work you do at the Utah Women in Leadership Project. We've been talking with Susan Madsen, who's Extension Professor of Leadership, Utah State University, Director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Yvette Young is Research Manager with the Utah Women in Leadership Project. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to Access Utah.